And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. So glad to be with you again here at Power of Prophecy, broadcasting from Austin, Texas, but being heard around the world. Today's program is going to be a very, very important one because I want to speak from you to you from the heart. I want to talk to you about the shape of things to come in America and the world. And I want you to know I'm very disturbed about many things. I believe that we're heading into a very precarious period, perhaps an entire decade, if the Lord tarries, an entire decade of deprivation, of chaos, of rioting, demonstrating, war, and death. Now, a lot of people accuse Tex Mars of being, what would you call it, a fearmonger. Others say I'm just trying to scare people. Well, you know, there's plenty enough to be scared about in this world. There's plenty enough to be fearful about. But what I believe our ministry is based on is telling the truth. It does no good for a leader, and God has anointed me as a Christian leader. It does no good for me to masquerade and disguise the truth, to create a charade, and tell you that everything is great, all is well, when suddenly everything comes crashing down seemingly at once. Because in fact, the Bible tells us that things don't happen all at once, that there usually are, just as in earthquakes, they're tremors. They're smaller shakes. They're smaller tremblings and trouble. And those who, you know, don't listen up, those who don't have their eyes open, find themselves in great, great tragedy and trouble. I've often wondered about the great tsunami that hit the beaches of Thailand and throughout the Pacific several years ago. Bystanders at the time, many of them just tourists enjoying the beautiful beaches of Pattaya, Thailand, and other places, said that they noticed that the animals, you know, pets, dogs, cats, livestock, seemed to be disturbed. And a lot of the animals, even in the forest close to the beaches, the forest areas, began to go, you know, higher up places. Somehow it was almost as if they had some kind of an advanced warning system, an alarm that went off in their brains and told them there's great trouble, moved to higher ground. Some say animals have a sixth sense. Well, I'm not so sure about that, but it's possible, a physical sixth sense. I mean, you know, I know that dogs can smell a lot better than we. I think my dog, it's a little old now and it's lost its hearing, but when it was a young puppy, could hear things. At night, I'd be laying in bed and the puppy suddenly start barking. And I knew, well, something's going on. I didn't hear anything, but the dog did. So animals do have different senses than do we. It's not necessarily some supernatural, psychic type of a thing. They may, in fact, have physical senses. And we do know, they say, for example, even among the dogs, you know, the dogs that police use for law enforcement work can smell maybe 40 times better than other breeds of dogs. So even within breeds of dogs, there's a great difference. We know even people have different characteristics. And, you know, some have great voices. Others have little puny voices. And look at all the body types. And of course, some can sing, some cannot sing. So there's all kinds of differences. But here's the point that I'm making. I believe God gives Christians a sixth sense. It's a very strange thing, but he says, even when the end of all things comes, Jesus said, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. How do you know to look up? Well, you divine the signs and the seasons, and you know something very, very dramatic is going to happen. This doesn't mean that we should be paranoid and every day wake up fearful and wringing our hands and said, oh, woe is me. Today the world might end. In fact, I think that's pretty silly. In fact, Jesus Christ said, don't do that. Don't worry about what tomorrow is going to bring. Just go through each day, taking each day as it comes, knowing that God oversees all things. So we may be fear mongers, but we're not fearful. And I don't even think we're a fear monger. A fear monger is when people falsely cause others to be frightened. But I believe we have reason to be alarmed. Now, if you followed Power Prophecy Ministries a long time, you know that I don't give out false alarms. You know, and others have said, oh, everything is going to end on Y2K. I said, well, now wait just a minute. It might be good to have some food, some water stored up, even buy some dry food. Good. We'll help you do that. But don't go hide in the caves and the hills and buy generators and all this stuff. That's not going to happen. The world's not going to end. Even the government was sounding the alarm. And I said, well, it's good to prepare. It's always good to prepare. Who knows what can happen at any time? A flood, a tornado, a hurricane. Of course it's good to prepare. And Jesus had a lot to say in the last days about incredible, horrible things that would occur on earth. I want to talk to you today about one of those things and why I believe we should not be fearful or even be a fear monger, but it's good to be on the alert. It's good to be watching out. It's good to beware. It's good to prepare. I think it's the fool who does not prepare for hard times. You know, the Bible says that a man who does not take care of his family and support his family is worse than an infidel. I've always pondered about that verse. It's bad enough to be an infidel, but a man who doesn't support his family is worse than an infidel. And I think one of the ways you're not supporting your family is if you don't look out for dangers. What man in his right mind tonight who lives in any size of town or city does not lock his doors at night? What man who driving through a bad part of town doesn't make sure he's got some gasoline in his tank so he won't, you know, with his family in his car, so he won't run out of gas and be subject to the thugs that may live in that neighborhood? In fact, it would be better if you detoured, didn't even go in that neighborhood, did a little bypass, wouldn't it? Watch out for your family. Take care of them. Likewise, a person who doesn't look at the economic catastrophes that may be headed our way, but just says, oh, I'm not going to worry. That's Chicken Little stuff. I'm not going to even prepare. I think it's pretty foolish. I don't think you're taking care of your family. I know many of you are limited in how much you might be able to spend to prepare. But you know, I tell people, prepare for emergencies. It might be a good idea when you go shopping. Just every time you go shopping at your local food store, buy just one or two cans of peaches or peas, beans. Buy something that will be long lasting, canned in other words, or dried beans, dry rice. Keep it handy. So here again, we're trying to be reasonable, and I don't want you to fill up your back bedroom with food and everything. Although I tell you, with the way I see things coming up here, wouldn't be bad. Now, I want you to remember something. Those of you who've been with Power Process, we've been here 25 years. Typically, when I warn you of something, I don't give you a date. I wish Jesus said to me, Texas, this is going to happen, you know, on April the 28th. Tell your people to prepare. Believe me, I'd be on the radio and online. I'd be writing you letters and say, God said April 28th. I'd do it. But, you know, God just says, tell your people to get ready. Tell your people to prepare. I think that God wants us, to some extent, to live on faith. If we all knew when Jesus was returning again, well, I don't know what our actions would be. But knowing that he could come at almost any time, that imminency, that feeling that things could break loose at any time, causes us, I think, to be a little sharper spiritually, mentally, physically. It does. I'm sure in police academies, the FBI academy, CIA schools and so forth, I'm sure they teach people to be aware at all times of what's going on. I tell my wife, Wanda, when you go shopping, sweetheart, when you park your car and you get out, then you come back in with your bag of whatever you've got, groceries, or if you've been shopping in a department store or something, watch your surroundings. When you're walking back towards your car and there's this huge parking lot, immense concrete, look around you. See if there's somebody might be lurking behind a car next door to you. Or somebody might have been watching you and following you. Now, Wanda says sometimes, oh, I'm not worried about that. Well, I'm worried about it, Wanda. I'm trying to protect you. Every day I read about carjackings and abductions and kidnappings. And let me tell you something. There's a lot of people out there that would like to do Tex Mars harm. A lot of people angry about Tex Mars, including the government powers that be. They might love to harm my wife and me. So, you know, it's not a matter of being frightened. If you're frightened, you just stay home and have agoraphobia and never get out. I'm just talking about be aware of your surroundings at all time. Just a little bit of awareness, okay? That's all. Now people are being mugged and mauled and burglarized while they're in their own home. Thieves, robbers, crooks are breaking down doors during the daylight hours and during the evening hours when families are just watching TV in some suburban neighborhood. First thing they know, somebody's beating down the door and they have guns and said, all of you line up over here. Show me where all your money is, all your valuables. This is happening in the best of neighborhoods, dear friends. We're in a criminal era. So I tell Wanda, look, keep the doors locked, even if we're home. Keep the doors locked. Watch for things. Be watchful. Okay? That's all I'm saying. Now, I want you to be watchful in the future regarding hunger and food. And that's what I'm going to be talking about the rest of this program. I don't know when the horrible food shortages and water shortages are going to occur. But I believe we're very, very close. You know, I wrote a book some years ago called Days of Hunger, Days of Chaos, The Coming Great Food Shortages in America. I got out my own book and I read it this week. And, you know, I said, Tex, you need to tell people, warn them again, because there's so much more evidence now that this is imminent. It is right at our doorstep. Now, believe me, if it doesn't happen in 2011, I'll thank God for that. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a reprieve. But I would not be surprised if it happened in 2011 or 2012. I believe the Illuminati elite have a lot of things planned for 2012. It seems just to be an occult year. Now, I know a lot of people are worried about December of 2012, and, you know, they say that's the end of the world. But where do they get that from? Well, you know, the Aztecs and the Incas and all the tribes, you might call them, the ancient cities in Central and South America, you know, where they built the great pyramids and they sacrificed human beings to their great sun god and the serpent goddess. And supposedly the Mayans are one of those people, their calendar ended in 2012, or it ends in 2012. And they believe that the great serpent god, Quetzalcoatl, is coming again in 2012. I don't think so. I think things could get very rough because I think the Illuminati elite want chaos and catastrophe. They succeed and make great progress in their plan for a new world order through chaos. Through destabilizing entire populations, through causing great tumult and fear among people. And I think they have put 2012 on their calendar. But as far as the Mayan calendar, I say that's garbage. I say anybody that sacrificed human beings, hundreds of thousands of them, on top of pyramids to sun gods and serpent goddesses, I say they're crackpots and nuts and wackos. And if you listen to them and really believe the world is going to end in 2012, well, I really don't have any swamp land in Louisiana to sell you, but I'll bet you would be vulnerable to such a pitch. I bet you'd do any, you're just a fool. And they even made a big movie, 2012. Got a lot of people scared. I get letters every day, almost. Text, what about 2012? Well, what about it? What about 2013? What about 2011? I want to talk to you about something real. Something that God prophesied. Not some Mayan, Inca, Aztec goddess. Or devil, that's what they really are. Jesus, our Lord, said of the end of the world in Matthew 24, he said, there shall be famines and pestilences, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Behold, I have told you before. I like those words. Behold, I have told you before. Jesus Christ. I read Revelation, it seems like constantly, the book of Revelation, and I'm always getting, gleaning new knowledge and information from the book of Revelation. The Holy Spirit just keeps, you know, helping me out. I guess God says, well, with your little human pea brain, I'm going to give you a little bit of more information today. Can't give it all to you at once. It'd probably blow your brain. So I'll just give you a little bit, and you'll advance step by step, precept by precept, the Old Testament says. Well, that's okay with me, Lord. Take me along as you know, you think I can handle it. Okay. Revelation 6, the four horsemen of the apocalypse, they're called. The eighth verse is quite interesting. It says, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death. That means all kinds of dying. All kinds of things are going to happen. But hunger is specifically mentioned. And who brings it? This pale horse rider. And is that not the devil himself? His name is Death. And hell followed with him. All of his dark angels. The devils, the demons, we sometimes call them. A fourth part of the earth. Now there are around 7 million people. So that's about 1 million, 800,000 approximately. I don't have my little calculator here. A billion. I did say a billion. I hope I did. I meant it. With 7 billion, a fourth of that is maybe 1.7 something, rather 1.8 billion people. Wow. That's about 6 times as many people are in the United States right now. Think about 6 United States populations dying in the last days from this pale horse rider. He comes to kill with sword, that's military, wars, but also with hunger. You know, it's been my experience in studying history that many people in times of great turmoil and trouble die from hunger and disease than die from wars. You're much more likely in a given war, whether it was World War I, World War II, or the coming World War III, you're much more likely to die of a disease or not having enough to eat, malnutrition, or maybe the cold. The elements of the weather than you are of some soldier shooting you or some tank shell or a bomb or poison gas or, you know, some weapon from a helicopter gunship. No, hunger is more likely to strike you and kill you than those things. And I believe we're headed toward this great hunger crisis. In America. Now notice I said in America. It's already happening overseas. I believe that was one of the reasons for the Egyptian rioting and demonstration. I understand that in Tunisia, before the recent overthrow of the government there and all the demonstrations that began about a month ago and then ended in the overthrow of their dictator, he fled the country with his wife and billions in foreign banks, if he can hold on to it. But I'm told that one of the reasons that people, hundreds of people, were in the street just weeks prior to that, screaming out, "We want sugar." Sugar? I guess some people say, "Oh, I didn't know that Arabs and Muslims like sugar products." Well, evidently they do. Maybe you'd get mad too if you went to the food store every day and they said, "We're still out of sugar." You probably would. Probably get angry after a while. Sugar's in all kind of products. A lot of people say, "I can't eat my morning cereal or oatmeal without sugar." Well, the sugar price of sugar has only gone up 127% in the last year. Apparently, there is a shortage of sugar all around the world. But it's also true of corn, wheat, soybeans. Great shortages are already occurring. But it's mind-boggling to think that the demon forces of hell caused this hunger. Something causes hunger. Now, I want you to understand that. You may say, well, people around the world have more money, and they're eating better. People in India and China that were, you know, starving before, now they have money with all their economy improving. They can buy food. I understand that. So there's a competition for food as the world, you know, gains the same economic status as we in the West, the United States and Europe have had for so long, in Japan, some of the so-called developed countries. But it's more than that. Something is going on. I believe there are contrived shortages. Contrived. It's man caused. It's devil planned shortages that man carries out, executes the plans of Satan. And this pale horse rider death comes and imagine the great sorrow and suffering of the world. Jesus said it would be a time great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world, nor ever shall be. This isn't some typical normal shortage of food. We've had that throughout history. No, this is going to be a monumental change. Now, I want to tell you something, friends. I've been writing my new book. It probably won't be out for a couple more months. I hope I'm working very hard on it. It's a huge book. But I've been at home, and I don't know why. I have an office at home, but I go, and I just love to sit at our breakfast table. I guess it has a better view, you know, the hill country or something there right in back of us. And way off in the distance, a little ribbon of the lake. So I like to sit there, and I like a lot of light coming in when I'm writing. And poor Wanda, she has to suffer through all my books and papers and boxes of articles and notes and all over her breakfast room, you know, and bleeds on out into the family room, and she's over there going, "Tex, why don't you go up to your little office upstairs, you know?" I said, "I like the light here." Anyway, I con her a little bit. I say, "Anyway, sweetheart, I like to be near you. Up there, I'm all alone. Here, I'm with you." She says, "No, you just want me to wait on you." You say, "Sweetheart, get me something to drink. I'm too busy right now." Well, I tried to assure her that wasn't true, but she knew I was fibbing. So then I just smiled and said, "Yeah, you're right. But I wait on you sometimes, sweetheart." She said, "Yeah, you do. Okay." She's pretty good natured about things like that. We take turns. Although, you know, I try to make sure she takes more turns than me, but it doesn't always work out. Anyway, I'm so glad, Jerry, she's not here today. Wanda's not working today here at the office. I'm so glad. She doesn't know half of what I say on the radio. You know what? She asked me, she said, "Now, what are you talking about today?" You know, okay. "Should I listen to it? Is it that important?" I said, "No, sweetheart, you don't have to listen to this show. Don't worry about this one." Oh, I tell you. Okay, now, I was reading again Days of Hunger, Days of Chaos, and I realized how, would we call it prescient it was? In other words, predictive that it is. But I've always been aware that God has given me a gift, that I can see these things in the future. And I see them so vividly, and so I'm so alert, I'm so awakened to these events that are coming, that frankly, it seems like they're right here at the doorstep. And I want to warn you of them. It could happen tomorrow, you know. But I remember in the Bible, Jeremiah was complaining to God. God said, go out and prophesy that because of their sin and their wickedness, I'm going to give Israel over to the Babylonians. The Babylonians, Nebuchadnezzar is going to come and conquer and kill many and take others hostage back to Babylon. You tell the king, you tell the military, you tell all the people this. Prophesy in my name. So Jeremiah went out and did. And, you know, things just lingered on and on. Pretty soon people began to wag their little tongues and point their bony old fingers at Jeremiah and say, you kept prophesying all these things, scaring everybody. And look, nothing has happened. You old fool. And, you know, it got to the point where Jeremiah got down on his knees and said, Lord, you told me to prophesy and I did it. It hasn't happened. I'm looking bad and I'm looking like I'm not, that I'm a false prophet. Why are you doing this? Why are you making me wait? Why are you waiting? These things are not happening. Oh, yes. You know, we all have our time as human beings. We want things. Even if it's something bad, at least God said it's going to happen. Well, okay, let it happen then. Get it over with. We're in such a hurry. Pitiful human beings that we are. But as God would do, I'm going to paraphrase it, but he basically told Jeremiah, shut up. He's told me that quite a bit too, so I'm used to that. I've got my timing. It's going to happen. You just keep preaching. You know, I'm thinking God was giving the people time to repent. A lot of times he sends his people out, his servants, such as Jeremiah, and says, go tell them. He sent Jonah to Nineveh, and Jonah didn't want to do it, and he sent him, had a fish chomp on him and bodily and cough him up right there on the coast of Nineveh. I bet that shocked the people. A man being belched out of a huge fish, maybe a whale. I guess it was a whale. And Jonah said, oh, okay, Lord, I better do what you said. So he began to preach. And you know what? The people believed him and they repented in sackcloth and ashes. But in Jeremiah's case, things just lingered on. He kept preaching. And you know, the people got mad. They got sick of him. The king got mad of him. The king turned him over to the military guard and they threw him in a pit. And I think mud came up to about his hip or something. It was so bad. Can you imagine being thrown into a pit? Rains and water can get in and the mud's up to your, past your knees and you're suffering. And who knows about the mosquitoes and the bugs and everything else all over him. They whipped him. And no doubt they laughed at him. And then one day they all awakened to the sound of thunder. Nebuchadnezzar and his army. Everything that Jeremiah said came true. Great massacres. Great bloodshed. Now, I don't know when these things are going to occur, but I want to tell you, my friend, that pale horse, maybe even now the rider is mounting up and things are going to happen. And I want to tell you about it. We're going to have to go to the other side. When we come back, I'm going to tell you what's going on in the food markets today, what is going to happen about the food and the water shortages, because this is a water problem as well. And the Illuminati elite are going to get super rich from this food and water crisis, but you and I may well suffer greatly. We haven't had anything like this happen in our lifetime, but now it's all going to come down on us. This is Tex Mars. You're listening to a special program today. I want to just title it, Hungry People Make Good Slaves. I'll be right back after this brief message. Hello again, friends. Tex Mars. I want to talk to you about Days of Hunger, Days of Chaos, this book that I wrote some years ago, actually. But it is absolutely necessary right now, today. there is an unstoppable, fast-coming food crisis. And I ask you, dear friends, this question. Why should you and your family die, literally die of starvation and deprivation when you can live and perhaps even prosper in the coming days of hunger and chaos? Now, I'm led to do this program today as a warning, and I'm going to get into some specifics in just a minute. But I want you to have a handbook to the coming great food shortages in America. Again, I'm not naming a date, but I want you to watch for them, and I want you to be prepared and to know what is coming up, what's going to happen. This book, Days of Hunger, Days of Chaos, 238 pages, and it's $18, I think we asked. And of course, I want to assure you that I don't even get royalties on this book. All the money that comes in from sale of this book goes into the ministry, all right? The ministry comes first in the life of Tex and Wanda Moores. And then after we look over everything about every 6 months, we say, do we have enough money to pay ourselves a living? But the ministry comes first. So you're not buying a book and, you know, making me rich from this book. I promise you that. I write my books because God wants me to. God wants me to write these books. And if I wanted to be, you know, I've written number one best-selling books before, and that was just God's doing. But if I wanted to write books that the world would love, I certainly wouldn't want to write them like this, because a lot of people don't want to hear doom and gloom. They don't want to hear bad news. They want to hear somebody tell them how they can get rich in the stock market or buy real estate. It's low price now. Buy real estate, you'll get rich. Well, I believe spiritual treasures are much more, make a person much more contented than does money. And that's been proven in my life. My greatest thrill has not been, you know, when I got my first job and first paycheck or whatever. My greatest thrills have been spiritual. When I came to know Jesus, when I walked a closer life with him, when I finally just plain gave up and said, okay, Lord, would you help me and lead me? And, you know, the Bible says, humble yourself and God will lift you up in due time. I'm sorry, but because that verse is so meaningful to me and you, isn't it? Humble yourself and God will lift you up in due time. Not necessarily your time, but it's very important that we say, okay, God, you had something important to say in your scriptures. In prophecy, you warned us. You personally said there will be great famine, food shortages, great suffering. And you said, I have told you before. We believe you. You see, that faith is important. So we humble ourselves and say, okay, God, I don't care what the world says. I want to know what you say is going to happen. And I'm telling you, God did prophesy days of hunger, days of chaos. And I think, my personal opinion is, we're on the precipice. We're sitting on the edge. And I believe, like Humpty Dumpty, we're going to fall and be broken very, very soon. And I want you to have this book. It'll be a little guide, Days of Hunger, Days of Chaos. In it, you'll learn about the World Food Authority. You may not realize it, but there's a World Food Authority. And the building that the World Food Authority of the United Nations is housed in is larger than our U.S. Capitol building. And it's paid for. About 80% of all the United Nations income comes from the United States. We're the ones paying for the United Nations. We've even given the United Nations the land, in fact, the Rockefellers did, that sits there on the river in New York City, and I visited it, and I'm not impressed except with the fact that it's a place of hell and Satan. But they have now built a building in a complex larger than the United Nations. In Rome, Italy, of all places, Rome, Italy, the World Food Authority. I was reading some time ago that they put a woman at first in charge. She's not there anymore, but she was interviewed about her job, and she says, well, as head of the World Food Authority, she says, well, you know, food is power. And I'm not going to hesitate here at the United Nations to use that power. Food is power. In the book, Days of Hunger, Days of Chaos, I have the story of a Green Beret friend of mine. He went to a Central Intelligence Agency training regimen or course. And they taught him all kinds of things, you know, spy techniques and such. In the Green Beret, the CIA had their own instructors teach him. He said, now one block of instruction text was called Methods of Control. How do you control entire nations, cities, populations? He said, now as a Green Beret, I was taught to use military force. But the CIA said, oh, there's much more effective ways to control huge populations of people than military force. For example, control their food supply. Oh, they'll scream then. Cut off food supply to a city or a town. Or spray their crops, you know, these chemtrails and such. Spray their crops with your airplanes so that their crops die. Wage economic war. Wage food wars. And a whole nation will get on their knees and beg you to save them. Our own forces are being taught to use food as a weapon. And by the way, the world's largest corporations, Monsanto and others, now have designed the crops in such a way that you have to buy their seeds. They control all the world's seeds. There's even a world seed bank. And the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds own that. I wonder why. Yes, Diane Bertini said, food is power. We use it to control people and nations. And I believe now we're going in an era where the elite have discovered that even more effective than military weaponry, all of the United States, the great beast of Revelation 17, is in 130 nations around the world. But we're not only there to watch over, to have our military forces there in case of war, but I believe we're doing things with the food supplies. Every nation that is a producer of crops is a nation where America's military will stay and watch things very closely. And as I show you in Days of Hunger, Days of Chaos, the satellite systems of this world, do you realize we have a National Reconnaissance Office, NRO, run by the CIA? What do you think they're doing with satellites up in the skies? Are they watching to see if the Soviet Union, or Russia, they call it now, and all the former Soviet republics, are rearming? Are these satellites watching China and other nations that we fear may develop a military capability as we move forward in the 21st century? Indeed, they are. But listen to me. They're watching over the crops. They're watching what people plant. They're keeping track. And already we're having farmers, agricultural people, ranchers. They're told from now on you're going to have to fill out reports for the government. How many cattle? If you have two sheep or more, or two cows or more, you're going to have to start coordinating with the government. And you know, the government's going to be telling you how many sheep you can have, how many goats, how many cattle. They're already telling farmers how much white wheat, oats, even peanuts they can plant. They do that right now. And the European community is even telling the farmers there that your crops have to be of a certain quality or whatever. Did you know that a cucumber that's not shaped exactly right, you know, the curvature is a little bit off, the farmers are told to destroy it. Don't take it to the market. Sorry, your cucumbers are curved too much. They're still as good as the ones that aren't. Wow. So we have a control system of food and a gigantic World Food Authority complex building in Rome, Italy. And I understand that there are 1,800 employees working there, bureaucrats. And they're ready to pull the switch, and they're going to have a food quota system. And you and I are going to be told, you can only buy so much rice, so much beans, so much milk, so much bread. You're going to have a ration card. And it's so easy now. You go to the cash register, oh, sir, I'm sorry. You know, we just put your card in and it says that you bought a loaf of bread last week. You can't buy one this week. Say, Tex, they're not going to do that. Yes, they will. Were you alive when they rationed gasoline? You'd only buy so much at a gas station, like $5 worth. What would $5 do? A couple of days later, you're back again. The lines were miles long. I mean, literally went around city blocks waiting for gasoline. Many cars ran out of gas while they were waiting. They had to be towed away. It's going to happen with food now. And we're all going to be shocked because the supermarkets have so much. But did you know they only have 72 hours worth of food? Talk to any food manager. They are not allowed to order more than 72 hours of food because it's perishable and so forth. Plus, why should they have all that extra stock when the trucks can come in and even by rail and get it there soon? Just-in-time inventory, 72 hours maximum. Days of Hunger, Days of Chaos. It was a classic book, and it's still available for you now. This book, $18. Please add $5 shipping and handling, a total of $23 for Days of Hunger, Days of Chaos by Tex Mars. $23, that takes care of the shipping and everything. Here's how to get the book. Ask for Days of Hunger. Call us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. Or you can order it online at powerofprophecy.com. Okay? Powerofprophecy.com. You also can write to us, send us a check, money order, or cash, $23, to Power of Prophecy, or just text Mars. 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Now let's return to our regular program. You know, had an article here reading from online talking about price shocks, food shortages. This article is a month old. In fact, it's dated January the 19th. Now, we're already another month ahead, but a month ago, according to Forbes.com, you know, Forbes magazine, the business magazine, they reported last month that corn is up in price, futures markets, is up 94% since June. 94%. Soybeans up 51%. Wheat up 80%. And it goes on and on. But that was last month. Now, I told you that I've been at home working on this book. And while I'm working on my book, I keep the business network on. You know, there's CNBC Business Network. There's Fox Business News. There's, you know, Bloomberg. There's three or four of them. And when I have my little lunch or a snack or something, I'll turn on the business news. And I watch very carefully what's happening in the stock markets of the world, what's happening around the world to different markets. Now, I want to tell you what's happening with food, and there's a combination of things. I told you it's contrived, but not totally. You see, the weather patterns seem to have changed. It's not global warming. If anything, it's global cooling. But we had the worst winter, some say, in 500 years, the coldest freezes all over the world. And this played havoc with crops everywhere. So we have tremendous shortages. The citrus crop down in Florida was destroyed earlier in the year. Did you know that Australia has a tremendous amount of everything from sugarcane to wheat? Huge agriculture industry in Australia. But because of huge rains, just incredible rains never before seen, over one third of the whole huge island, the whole nation of Australia was flooded, including all these crops. Then in some places, though, there's been a drought and crops have just dried up and died. And then it seems as if the American presidency and Congress seems to want us to all to starve to death because they passed a law a few years ago to help the huge corporations such as Archer Midland and ConAgra and other. And believe me, not many small farmers are left. It's gigantic corporations. This is multinational corporation business right now. Okay? We're not talking about, Ethel and Jack who had a farm in Idaho or Iowa. No. We're talking about a giant corporation that has thousands, tens of thousands of acres in a particular crop. And they decided that to make corn producers even more rich than they were. Because believe me, thank you, Willie Nelson, for Farm Aid and all that stuff. That's long gone. Let me tell you, the farmers are really making out. They got plenty of things for old Aunt Ethel now. They're building new silos and new barns, and there's so much money in farming. Did you know that farm lands in America, raw farmland with nothing on them, in the Midwest, in you know states like Iowa, Nebraska, and such, have tripled in price in the last 5 years? Just go out there and buy you 5,000 acres, if you have that much money, 5 years ago, and your price is up 300% now. Wow. I suppose that's why the Democrats want to put back in the hefty inheritance tax. Because a lot of those farmers now find themselves suddenly rich. But when they die, the government would like to get all their money. They don't want to pass it on to the kids. That's all another story. But here's what I want you to know. To help the corn people, and because of the nutty, wacko environmentalists, they decided several years back, as you know, that all gasoline sold at the pump would have at least 10% of ethanol. 10% of ethanol. Now, the minute that they passed that law, the price of corn went shooting up like a rocket. Now farmers have corn they can not only sell for food, but they can sell for fuel, because that's what they make, how they make ethanol. So 10% of all of the gasoline comes from corn. Well, now, of course, today, while you and I are discussing, chatting, you're on the radio, there's a gigantic shortage of corn. But all the gasoline and oil companies are told you've got to have corn in your gasoline, the corn product. If they change that one law, all of a sudden there would be more corn available. So they have caused a great corn shortage, and the price of corn, as I said, has gone up tremendously. Now, in the past month while I've been writing my book, every day I watch the news, and there's different segments talking about agricultural share prices. And I'll be watching, and just the other day, the guy came on the announcer and said, well, today, wheat was up in one day 7%. Corn was up in the last 30 days 18%. And on and on. Coffee. You just watch the supermarkets, my friends. 6 months from now, you will not believe how much your food prices are. Now I'm going to tell you a little secret. You know the consumer price index? You know that they say every month they announce, you know, the agriculture department, the commerce department, they announce how much the price of living is. There's the producer price index, the wholesale price. Then there's the consumer price index. Well, the happy thing is they've been telling us for a long time that prices are not increasing in America. It's getting cheaper to live here. And for the last 2 years, they didn't even give Social Security recipients not even a 0.5% increase, nor do military retirees get it either. You don't need it. Prices aren't going up. What a joke. Dear friends, let me tell you something. Inflation is on the move right now. But the consumer price index, there's one area they do not factor in, food. Under Bill Clinton, the White House decided, you know, food has been going up so much, we better just take it out of the mixture. The only thing that really has been reduced in price is housing. The price of homes has gone down dramatically. Some areas 50%, 30%. A few areas 70% in Nevada and Florida and a few areas of California. The price of housing has gone down tremendously. That has kept the consumer price index at a reasonable level. Because they do not even, I want to repeat it, they do not even include the price of food in figuring out the cost of living. I was talking with my grandson the other day. He said, you know, Papa, he said, my wife Tess and I, we had a food budget last year we started. Every time we went you know, to the food store. We're going to pay. We decided we could get by with $100. We decided what we needed, the products, and we really were trying to do good on our food budget. Now, friends, I don't know how often they went to the food store, but they have three kids, okay? So there's five of them. But we would spend $100 and really try to watch it. He said, did you know the same products we were buying a year ago for $100 now cost us $160? I said, you mean $160? That's 60%. He said, Papa, I'm not kidding you. We buy the same things we bought last year for $100, but it cost us $160. Wow. Well, sugar has gone up 142% in the past 2 years. Coffee has gone up 78% in the last 9 months. A lot of these prices have not yet reached the supermarket. But I've been watching. Did you know stocks, share prices of the stock in the stock market for restaurant chains have come down? Try to buy some Denny's stock. Or some of these other chains, you know, IHOP, you know, International House of Pancakes. Boy, their shares have been going down. The stock market has been zooming. But not Denny's stock, Denny's restaurant, not IHOP. You know why? They have to pay more for their food that they're going to serve you. McDonald's has not gone up at all. It's been made it for a while. It was going up. Now even McDonald's, they're going to have to pay more for their hamburgers, for their beef, for their bread. For their mayonnaise, for their mustard, everything. For their coffee, for their sugar. They're going to have to increase their prices. Now, a lot of these people have been eating it and trying to, you know, just keep going. Let me tell you something, friends. The huge food chains like Safeway and Super Value food stores, their stocks are in the dump. Don't buy stock in any food chain. The grocery stores, their margins are going to be pushed to the limit. They're saying, food managers are saying now of the food stores, how are we going to pass these prices on to the consumer? I know you're going to get mad there at the cashier. Well, don't get mad at her. She's probably forced to buy the same stuff you are, and she's not making enough to live either. Don't even talk to the food store manager and don't chew him out for the prices. He's going to tell you, ma'am, what can I tell you? My salary hasn't gone up either. In fact, we may have to close stores. We may have to, you know, economize ourselves. Bad things are beginning to happen. And as I said, it's a combination of events. People in the third world nations are able to eat more. They're going to gain weight. They're going to eat more if they can. But the weather patterns are incredible. So we've had these horrible deep freezes. Forget about the crazy global warming nuts. There is no global warming. If we had global warming, there would be more crops. Things would be greener. There'd be more rain. It's pray for global warming, folks. Instead, we've had these freezes and these snows and this ice. And now food shortages. There are going to be global economic riots coming up. They're already happening in Yemen. They happened in Tunisia. A lot of the trouble in Egypt was because people didn't have enough food. And they can't, you see, in countries like Nicaragua, Panama, Indonesia, those countries, a family has to pay over half of their income just to eat. Some families are paying 70 or 80% of everything they make just to eat. Do you realize some people in these countries only have, their income is only about $2 a day. Think about trying to live on $60 a month. And they're going to get desperate and they're going to get angry. And why not get angry at the West, at the United States, at Germany, at Japan, at the rich nations? They're going to look to us and say, what's going on? Who's doing this to us? Now, do you notice that Obama hasn't addressed this? He hasn't said, okay, folks, we need to do more to produce food. You know, America was the food basket of the whole world, but no longer. The multinational agricultural corporations know that the less food that is available, the greater the food shortages are, the more money they can make for their food that they sell. They are prospering while you and I and even the restaurant chains and the food stores are suffering. and it's going to get worse. And the more money they make, the more greedy they are. Now, I've been watching, and I noticed, you know, there's stocks with names like Agco, Potash. They're not very sexy stocks, but let me tell you something. Those are fertilizer names. Did you know that some fertilizer companies, the shares have increased by 300% in the last year? You just look every day. In fact, I was looking at a company. I live near a sort of a farm town near here called Marble Falls, Texas. And they have a big store called Tractor Supply. A lot of farmers go in there and buy all kinds of things for the farm and so forth. And they sell tractors there too. I noticed that Tractor Supply has gone up 78% in its share values in the last 90 days. Buy some stock in Tractor Supply. Farmers, the big farmers have a lot of money to buy products there. John Deere Tractor was selling at about $30 a share. Now it's $100 a share. Maybe buy if you had any money. But people don't have any money because they're putting it all out in food. What's going to happen is food prices keep going up. And then the housing prices turn around that have been going down, and they start going up. Already, did you know that apartment rent prices, home rent, people who are renting are finding when they go, you know, after their lease is up, the apartment managers say, I'm sorry, we're going to have to increase 10, 20%. Already. See, so many people can't afford homes anymore, or they've been foreclosed on their homes. So they had to go out and get apartments, and now there's a shortage of apartment buildings or apartment units in these buildings. Folks, a lot of this is contrived, but it seems like even the weather has changed. I remember reading Air Force or DOD report, the Air Force is part of it, 2025. This was over 15 years ago. The Defense Department was given the task of deciding what the military would look like in the year 2025. One of the reports said we will be able to control the weather. By 2025, we'll actually be able to cause tornadoes, maybe even hurricanes. We'll be able to cause droughts or big rains. And we can use this in warfare by the year 2025. There was actually a Defense Department report that came out called DOD Report 2025. A lot of this is contrived. And it fits in with Bible prophecy. And the same thing goes for water. Nations are going to be fighting wars over water supplies, over the river streams. You're going to see things you've never seen in your lifetime in coming years. And I want to assure you, friends, when fertilizer is tripling in price, when water gets so expensive that it costs more than milk or liquor, don't touch that stuff, or Coca-Cola, you're going to blink your eyes. And it was prophesied to occur. Why would the elite let this happen to us? Why isn't Obama talking about it? Why isn't our Congress doing something to use our croplands more effectively? We have huge expanses of desert and plains in the United States we could turn into agricultural crops. Let me tell you the reason why. Because food is power, and they want to use it against us. Because, dear friends, hungry people make good slaves. This is Tex Mars. It's been my great pleasure to be with you today, even as a bearer of bad news. Because, my friends, remember, Jesus also said, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Be with me again, won't you, next week and every week here on Power of Prophecy. May God richly bless you.